and welcome to day 16 of the World Cup Minute. My name's Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Good. What is it about 16 that makes me feel like we're really deep in it right now, Josh?
You love 16 Stone. Definitely your favorite. Oh, my God. I just forgot the name of that band.
Who's
Bush. Bush. Thank you. Yeah, your favorite Bush album.
The World Cup is old enough to drive now, maybe. But I think what makes it feel – the World Cup feels realer and realer the more teams get bounced from it.
Yeah,
so it was
true.
It was a sad day for South Korea and Japan, both of which kind of went out in sour ways, each their own. Japan got dangerously close to going through while South Korea was basically out within 10 minutes of that match. Though, kind of as we predicted, South Korea never backed down and continued to make a game of it.
Nice
till
goal
the last.
At the end. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess kudos to Japan and South Korea. They get the hashtag credit to award jointly on day 16. But overall, what was your takeaway from day 16, Josh? Did you enjoy that?
Well, yeah. I mean, what did I enjoy? I enjoyed Brazil's dominance in the first 35 minutes or whatever it was of that opening match today. I enjoyed Croatia, too. I sort of got into it very mildly with some people on Twitter, but I was talking about how tough this Croatian team was, how tough they were and are and continue to be and will be in the future.
I hope they never stop being tough.
Exactly. And maybe I'm like falling into some Eastern European cliches there or something like that, but they just seem like, and then somebody was like, oh, they're just lucky. And I'm like, yeah, like luck is the residue of design, you know? And it's like, and then someone else was like, well, they don't play well. And it's like, why would this team play well? What is the point of that? If they play exactly the way they play, they're super, super hard to beat. Like what is the point of them playing Brazil style free flowing football? Like the way that they've set up to play, it locks them in, as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen to them, I suspect, although, gosh, you know, we've been wrong on this stuff so much, so who knows. But actually, you've been wrong.
I've been right.
Yeah. I've been right almost across the – no, I'm just kidding.
We're trying. We have to try to predict the outcomes here to an extent,
I don't know why.
Right?
The goal was never to predict, but you kind of have to. You start talking about these matches. So anyway, I think we've been like – well, let's say like our we're like a B minus so far in our predictions. We've underrated some clubs, I will say. But I think that, I think that what's going to happen to them on Friday, because they now play Brazil on Friday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern time, if you're in the Eastern time zone, is I think what's going to happen to them is what happened to Croatia in the 2018 World Cup final, which is they can beat almost anybody until they come up against a true talent powerhouse. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if they played England, they have a very good chance of beating them again, just as they did 4 years ago. And I think that, but Brazil, if we see anything like the Brazil we saw in the first half, honestly, the whole match.
Let me stop you right there.
Let me stop you.
Yeah. Why do you think that this England team is no different than the one from 2018 by that Croatia measuring stick?
Well, they still have Harry Maguire playing for them, Luke Shaw. Those things concern me greatly. You have Phil Foden has played better. Jude Bellingham, obviously. Well, listen, I made an assertion that has nothing to do with what we're talking about right now, so we should just stop ourselves before we go down a big rabbit hole here.
Yeah.
I think this England team is better than the team from 4 years ago. That England team probably should have beat Croatia, but they were too tough, like they were too tough today.
No, I think that's the way to frame it, is Croatia is kind of same as they ever were, incredibly so. And teams like England, it's harder work to improve that system and to bring in those players. I'm curious to see how Brazil react, because based on current evidence, I don't know if there's a whole lot between Brazil and England in this tournament. It's like wherever Brazil's weaknesses are, I think England is maybe a little bit stronger, whether it's structurally at the back, despite having Harry Maguire, sure. Yeah. But yeah.
Central midfield, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Totally. Totally. But and it's interesting to see the youth revolution at at Brazil, it was like Rafinha trying to score a goal for 45 minutes in the second half of South Korea. And I was certainly rooting it for it to happen. You're watching him at Leeds was one of our great joys the last couple of seasons in the Premier League. And I don't know, I guess if I had to choose, Josh, I'm a Rafinha guy before I'm a Richarlison guy.
Well, you famously dislike Richarlison, although Brazil Richarlison is a slightly different animal, I think. And I've actually sort of grown fond of Spurs Richarlison as well. Maybe it's because he has like an alpha there in Kane or something like that, but he's not doing the Richarlison stuntery that we used to see with Everton. I was so glad to see Weverton come on, Brandon. It's Everton and Weverton are both in this Brazil team. One day they'll both be in the. I don't think was Everton. No, I don't want to go look. But anyway, Everton and Weverton, Mario and Wario, they're together.
They
on
should.
Brazil.
The two of them should just move to Beaverton, Oregon, and take up residence there. I think
the fact that they don't both play for Everton is the real heartbreaker. It is a crime. I was just talking to somebody recently, and they were trying to, you know, somebody. This happens a lot, I think, for people probably across the world. When the World Cup comes along, and suddenly you're talking to people about the game who just don't follow it at all. And I was talking to somebody. I think I was doing Panini stickers with my 6-year-old, and my wife was helping unpeel the stickers, and she said, Richarlison. Like, it is a weird word just written down when you see all the letters together.
Yeah,
it's very hard.
How many WhatsApp groups and text threads have been chatting about Richardson this entire time because of autocorrect?
Absolutely.
Just one last point on Weverton, because one of the great things about the World Cup is you have the veterans who finally get their chance and they get their minute to be subbed on. And there could be an impulse to sort of like look like you've been there before, play it cool. But Weverton had the biggest grin on his face when he subbed in for Alisson. And I felt it. I thought it was great. I loved seeing that.
I did too. It was a nice move. It's probably, you know, probably the last time he'll get on the pitch in this World Cup. That was a cool gesture. I think he actually may have had a little bit of injury as well. So I'm not sure his appearance in the World Cup or even making the squad necessarily.
If he wasn't injured, he'd be starting ahead of Alisson and Ederson. Probably.
I don't think so, but I just think this was really, he probably feels extremely fortunate to be on the pitch.
Sure, yeah.
I don't know if we need to say much about the Brazil goals. I thought that the Richarlison goal, speaking of Richarlison, was terrific. I mean, you just any time you split the defenders with a pass, right, and there's a forward waiting to receive it and tuck it away, it's just like perfect football, right? It's just like as good as it gets. And so I was just really – and then obviously once they score 4 goals – Even 3, okay, maybe it's still competitive. But once you get that 4th goal, you kind of think that might be the end of the goal scoring for the day. And you know, like you said, it was nice that South Korea was able to keep fighting, get another goal. They had a couple of other chances, actually, too. Although, realistically, that match was really never in doubt.
Yeah, it was a shame. You feel like it's a classic, like, game plan crumbles in the first few minutes of a match. Then you're just left to think of what could have been if South Korea could have held it a little tighter for 20 to 30 minutes, then, because they had the energy, they still had the legs at the end of the game, and if it were tighter, it might have been a little bit more compelling. So, but anyway, I was bummed being, you know, your Spurs player for this match. Maybe it's Richarlison. Of course, we both love Heung-min Son. Who doesn't love Heung-min Son? But I think if he would have scored today, because he hasn't scored yet in the tournament, he would have been the first South Korean to score in 3 major international tournaments.
I just saw that.
Or at least Ji-sung Park is up there, too.
I just saw that Neymar is only the 3rd Brazilian to score in 3 World Cups. And along with, I think it's Pele and... Brazilian Ronaldo. And I was a little surprised that only 3 have ever done that. It feels like you would have expected, I don't know, I would have expected at least one other Ronaldinho, somebody, I don't, you know, like Rivaldo, like somebody over the years would have played in 3 and scored in 3 for Brazil. So, you know, good for him. I was thinking about him today too. It's nice that he scored his goal today. And it feels like when I think about Neymar and I think about Brazil, it is so hard for me still to shake that 2014 World Cup and that kind of epic failure. He like broke his back in that World Cup. You know, it was just like everything went as bad as it could possibly go in that World Cup. And so it really
is. And then
they
go on to get humiliated. The team does without Neymar, 7-1 to Germany.
Yeah, exactly. It was just a real, you know, so the narrative is here now for the big comeback. I mean, it's 8 years later, so it's basically like a different squad. But still, there's a chance for them to get a little redemption. Germany is sadly out. It would have been cool if they could have met and battled it out. But so I think it'll be fun. I would give Croatia at least a puncher's chance in that game, though. Sure. I don't see that being another 4-1. I would expect Brazil to win, but certainly not handily.
Maybe they're 2-1 too tough.
They're too tough, exactly. God bless those tough Croatians.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, speaking of Croatia, I guess my biggest gripe of the day was Japan's performance in the penalty shootout, which was, I mean, I think I've seen that on the high school soccer fields of mid-Michigan, the penalties taken with such little verve and class. Not to totally denigrate Japan, because, you know, they played a great match, they played a great tournament, and it ultimately doesn't matter the level of their performance in the penalty shootout, because it's a lottery anyway you slice it. And
it's painful, though, for the fans.
It is painful. Ben, that was a brutal watch. But imagine being the Croatian goalkeeper. Not one, not two, but three.
The third one, he finally let himself celebrate a little bit. That was when he knew there was...
He went full Weverton on the third one.
Yeah, he went to go full Weverton. He did the full Weverton. All right, well, let's look ahead to tomorrow's matches then. We have Morocco-Spain in the morning, Portugal-Switzerland in the afternoon. Both teams, Morocco and Switzerland, are both heavy underdogs. I checked just out of curiosity the betting odds going into these matches, and they're both significant underdogs to advance. I did look, by the way, just curiously at England and France to advance, and it's actually pretty close. It's like France is maybe like a 55-45 favorite to get through. So it really, that match is as close as it seems like it is to us on the non sort of gambling side of things. So anyway, tomorrow morning we've got Morocco, Spain, and I think that Morocco has to be. Has to have a chance here, just because they have looked good. Like it's not like they've not fluked their way. They won their group. Spain finished second in their group. I mean, I think that the Spain team is kind of they're unusual. There are times when they look absolutely brilliant, and there's times when they look like they need four more years to like really put it all together. And so it's an interesting thing.
I agree. I hope it's a bit of a shootout that starts early. But yeah, I like both teams. And
yeah,
I think it's, you know, Morocco being sold a little short by those odds. I think they stand certainly a better chance than Switzerland going up to Portugal. Did you see these headlines today of the Portuguese coach Santos going out against Ronaldo for acting like a child when he was substituted in the last World Cup match? And it is like, you know, you've been in science class, Josh. You understand that if you run an experiment and you get a result, you must run the experiment again to see if you get the result a second time. And only then can you start making theories and hypotheses and saying that things are true. Well, now Ronaldo has done the exact same thing he did with Ten Hag at Manchester United at Portugal. So
annoying. It's like it's like Elon Musk. Like, I'm just like, we just have to start ignoring these people because they're, you know, it's they're just the narcissism is just so deep. And it's just this. I mean, I you know, everyone long time, even short term, I think everyone listening to this pod probably, Brandon, knows that I'm not a fan of Ronaldo. And neither are you. It's I'm a fan of his talent, sure. You know, like when he was good 5 years ago.
Show me some highlight film. Show me some highlight reels of all of Ronaldo's spectacular goals, but do the like digital masking over his face, so maybe I don't even know who it is who's scoring the goals.
That'd
I just
be cool.
Get to see the goals themselves.
I want it to be Samuel L. Jackson's youthful face from the Captain Marvel movie or whatever that was. Was that Captain Marvel?
Know anything about the MCU. I know that he plays like Mr. Snake or something like that, right?
Mr. What is it? Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. I'm thinking of Snake Son.
You're thinking of Snake Pilsen from Escape from New York.
Yes, exactly.
Anyway, all right, I'm getting in trouble. The Ronaldo stands are still out there. They're not going away. Let's just leave the Ronaldo thing where it lies. But Portugal does play Switzerland in the afternoon. This Portugal team, I think, is terrific. I guess I can't resist saying that I think they'd be even better without Ronaldo, but that is how I feel. You know, if they had Jota, they would really be even more unstoppable in this tournament. Yeah. But they're loaded. Their defense is really good. Their attack has lots of different facets to it. I think that just having someone like Bernardo Silva in there, right? Like, oh, can you imagine if we had Bernardo Silva in the U.S. as like a number 10? Like,
yeah, Bernardo Silva is just a player you could plug him into any side, whether it's international football, club football, and he just like...
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It really doesn't matter. He's such a lovely little technician. And I would like to see João Cancelo have his World Cup moment because I think he's had a pretty quiet tournament.
That's true. I mean, for people who don't watch the Premier League, João Cancelo, the fullback for Portugal, is one of the most entertaining, like just plays. He's a total machine, plays 90 minutes every match, absolutely unstoppable. And just like a perfect fit for Pep's system, can play either side. So I'd like to see him have that too, because we know he can rip one from outside the box, and it'd be cool to see that in this tournament. So I think that I do sort of, this Switzerland team, they're like, again, we've said this before, but they're sort of the better than the sum of their parts, right? You sort of look at them and you think, well, there's no way they're getting past Portugal, but they do have a kind of... esprit de corps, Brandon. If I can say that. And by the way, I keep saying clubs when I mean kind of. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. You know, it's all running together. But you can't do like 500 Premier League podcasts in a row and then jump into the World Cup
We'll do a control find and replace when we're done recording here, Josh.
Exactly. Yeah. I only say that because there's some guy on Facebook I saw who on our Facebook page has just been screaming at me, quit saying clubs, and it's finally got in my head enough that he got his name onto the pod. I don't know what his name was. But he got himself onto the
Facebook
pod in a way.
Facebook guy.
So I would say of the two matches tomorrow, if you can only watch one, I think that Morocco-Spain ends up being the closer match, and I think possibly the more entertaining match. I mean, it's just like classic. It was just so perfect that, of course, Japan-Croatia was the match that was 1-1 that went to extra time, right? Like, if you had looked at all of the round of 16 matches and said, which of these matches will be 1-1 into extra time, that's the one everyone would have picked, right? And so I think tomorrow, I do expect Spain and Portugal to win, both of them, but I think Spain in particular is going to really be in for a fight tomorrow.
I am, just to give a little bit more individual shine to Switzerland, looking forward to seeing Mr. Mbolo, Breel Mbolo, who you don't see much of here in the States, but I
Breel?
Yeah, you know Brill.
Yeah, Brill. He's around. Yeah.
I thought he was incredible against Serbia, and he is a big lad, like 6 foot two, almost 200 pounds. He plays for Monaco, but I think we have not seen the last of Brill Embolo. I wonder if he busts out of Monaco after this World Cup just to watch him play. It's like that guy could boss a lot of back lines in a lot of leagues.
It's like a remnant of that like moment when Monaco was briefly like awesome, right? Mm-hmm. They got bought by some rich. I don't even know what happened. Like they're not
Thierry Henry to manage them, and I think it was kind of all downhill from there.
Arsene Wenger won a Ligue 1 at Monaco like 35 years ago. All right, well, that's tomorrow's matches. We're looking forward to them. But let's leave it there, Brandon, and we'll talk tomorrow. In fact, after tomorrow, we'll do one quick recap. We'll look ahead to Friday's games, but we have 2 days off coming up, Brandon. Wednesday and Thursday, there are no matches. So unless we have some breaking news, then I think
World Cup news.
Yeah, then I think the World Cup Minute will go on a brief 48-hour hiatus. So, you know, but that'll be after tomorrow's pod.
Yeah, maybe we'll throw a rerun into the feed.
Yeah, exactly.
What was your favorite minute? Everyone, let us know what your favorite World Cup minute was, and we'll rerun it twice.
Like reruns in summer. It's new to you, you know. You've never seen it. All right. Well, that's your pod. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Bye.